News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
But to that statement that Donald Trump made that the US could end its military attack on Iran within 2 to 3 weeks, a number of weeks ago, the US Defense Secretary, or Secretary of War as he now calls himself, Pete Hegseth, said that to give a time frame for the intended military action in Iran would be to tip their hand to their enemies and reveal US strategy, and that was therefore something he could not do. It seems Donald Trump disagrees in terms of how much that tips their hand, because that's literally what he has just done. With us is former fighter pilot and now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast, Sean Bell. So Pete Hegseth got it wrong, Sean. There's no issue with telling the enemy there's another fortnight left in this.
Anton, you've been, good morning to you. Yeah, we've been covering this for enough time now to know that President Trump contradicts himself in every sentence, let alone in any paragraph on any particular day. I think we're seeing a sort of machine gun of views coming out from him. I think the main thing is that President Trump originally said, oh, it'll all be over in 4 to 6 weeks. Well, we're day 33 now, and it still looks like there's several weeks to go. There's still a load of weapons coming out of Iran. They're clearly not surrendering yet. America is still pounding away, and the Straits of Hormuz are still closed. It doesn't feel like we're anywhere close to Iran capitulating anytime soon.
Now, I want to get your view on the Straits of Hormuz and what has been said in respect to that, but can we just go to the core of the negotiation? Because what Donald Trump has now said publicly is this. He said, we want Iran to come to the negotiating table and make a deal. If they don't do that, we'll cease hostilities in 2 weeks. How is that a negotiating position?
Well, I can't answer that question because it does seem a bit bizarre. I think what you're seeing is these are the symptoms of a problem that President Trump realizes it's a lot easier to start a war than it is to finish it. And what, despite the fact that you've got America's military might that's been unleashed on Iran, the harsh reality is that Iran's intent is still there. And they still have been preparing for this conflict for 30, 35 years. And therefore, America's got no answer to them closing the Straits of Hormuz. The irony here, of course, is that when I was in the military, we used to war game this. This is entirely predictable. And I think what we're seeing now is Trump desperately trying to find a way out. He wants to stop the war. He knows that domestically, with gas prices up from $3 a gallon to $4 a gallon, this is not what he wants his legacy to be. And he's trying to find a way of getting out.
Well, as to the other set of statements then that he has made that are a raft of contradictions, the position in respect of the Straits of Hormuz was originally that the Straits were open and there wasn't an issue. Then it was that allies needed to help America open the Straits because they weren't open. And now it has become none of it is our problem at home at all. If you want the oil, quotes, go get your own oil.
Yeah, I think as a military guy, you try and look at this through a former military lens. You know, we in the military used to quiz our politicians, before you go to war, what are your objectives? And it appears that America's objectives were around stopping Iran developing a nuclear weapon, stopping it being able to deliver a nuclear weapon, and stop it threatening its neighbors. There was also a bit of regime change, but you can debate that all you like. It does appear now that most of those objectives have been achieved. And the challenge, therefore, is that there's lots of collateral damage. The Straits of Hormuz is one bit of that. And it feels like one of the things that Trump's trying to do is engineer, I've done all my work here. My work is done. I was the only US president was prepared to take on Iran, and my legacy history will record that I was the one person who solved this problem. And by the way, you allies, you benefit from this, but you weren't involved in the strikes. You can deal with a mopping up operation in the Straits of Hormuz. Now, however bizarre that may sound, that does appear to be what Trump's strategy is at the moment.
Now, how will that mopping up, is that mopping up possible? Because we're already seeing the impact. I mean, Michael O'Leary is saying today that up to 20% of the world's jet fuel supply is at risk, and there could be jet fuel shortages by as early as May of this year if something isn't done. So if the US doesn't open the Straits of Hormuz, what happens?
Well, if you're looking at it from a purely military perspective, I think there is no military plan to open the Straits of Hormuz. So the only way, in my understanding, that it's going to be open is through negotiation. Well, that's going to be very difficult for the Americans to do because they will just expect a surrender document. So if you take out the protagonist, if America walks away, we've already seen overnight that China and Pakistan have put a 5-point peace plan together, because it isn't just America. or the West that needs the Straits of Hormuz opened. A lot of Iranian oil goes to China and the Far East. Therefore, there are lots of different countries that will be looking for ways to open it through negotiation rather than force. The problem with that approach, of course, is I've no doubt it suits all parties, including Iran, to get the Straits open again. The challenge it'll leave Iran more emboldened and therefore probably in a few years' time more dangerous than it is today.
What then of the relationships among the what used to be known as the Western allies? Because we've seen Spain take very dramatic action in terms of limiting access to US bases to the US. France has been criticized by the US for not allowing overflights, and the American administration has been very aggressive in their language in respect to the UK. I mean, Pete Hegseth mocking the Royal Navy, Donald Trump saying that they're not dealing with Churchill anymore. And I see Keir Starmer due to give a press conference in about 2 hours to address the impact of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think so far, most European leaders have tried to be diplomatic about this and just watch the sort of almost the petulance and the frustration of President Trump not get dragged into that that course of action. And I do think so far, I think Sir Keir Starmer has done the right thing, keeping ourselves out of it and just accept that President Trump might have a little bit of a fit, hissing fit on his Truth Social. I think more worrying, though, is long term. Our national security and that of many of our European partners rests on NATO first. And yet it is very difficult to see how that will endure beyond this conflict. It's pretty clear that America under President Trump is focused on the Western Hemisphere being America's interest, China being the eastern side, and therefore in the central sort of Middle Earth, as it were, Russia versus Ukraine suddenly becomes an existential fight for Europe. And in that sort of world, UK and our little islands become almost inconsequential. We have to form more robust alliances. We have to spend more money on defence. Otherwise, we'll be vulnerable. It has profound implications way beyond President Trump's invasion or at least attack on Iran.
And are there any back channels? Is there any permanent government that keeps these kind of strategic relationships alive and viable? Is there anybody saying, look, you know, as with all things, this too will pass? Or is it really what it looks like on the surface, that what has been an alliance that has taken decades to make is crumbling as we watch?
Well, it's a really good point. I mean, I deal with a lot of my former military colleagues, and they're pretty convinced that the military-to-military links are as strong as ever. And there is a view that Trump will move on eventually. His power may be reduced significantly in the midterms, and in 3 years' time, he'll be gone. Let's play it long. But I think in a way that will be naive. You know, is America, is the population of America suddenly going to start saying, no, we'll reinstigate a protective umbrella. We'll look after Europe again. I think he's reset the board, and whatever happens, yes, relations will probably improve. But our security environment, I think, has fundamentally changed forever. You know, Trump will come and go, but this has been a sea change in the way that global defense is run.
Sean, thank you very much. Sean Bell, former fighter pilot and now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast, and on Taoiseach Micheál Martin saying today that the energy crisis that all of this causing is possibly the worst ever. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106, text saying we have an energy crisis, but yet we have talk of a mission to Mars that will see massive volumes of fuel used. Yes, a coherent strategy. Another.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.